Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
For the best Ravens coverage.
What time is
that? It's time for News from the Nest with Vinny and Haney. 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Featured Artist Friday. News from the Nest. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato. Nolan McGraw's on the other side of the glass. Black Sabbath. Pick a song. We'll play it. 2 hours to go there. As you heard during Nolan's update, no Suggs, no Yanda in the Hall of Fame. We've talked a lot about Lamar not winning MVP as Josh Allen got it. And we'll talk a lot about that with Howard Balzer, who is one of the grand poobahs of the NFL Hall of Fame. But Suggs, Yanda, first of all, Vinny, do we agree they'll both get in?
Yes.
Who gets in first?
Suggs. I think Suggs will get in first just because his numbers. You know, I mean, really, with an old lineman, how do you evaluate it? The Scott Garceau, if he's the guy, he's got to do a hell of a job presenting with an old lineman. And like when we heard Clark Judge talk about Bryant Young, and he said that Kevin Gogan told him how great he was. So maybe there's some D linemen, you know, that say, hey, Yanda is, you know, was the best lineman I played, blah, 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 kind of thing.
The All Pros probably would help Yanda. He's got two first team All Pros and five second-team All-Pros in his career. So pretty well-regarded in that span from 2011 to 2019 when his career ended as either, if not the best, second-best at his position.
Mm-hmm. And remember, the Ravens made a business decision, and we're going to hear from Eric DeCosta here in a second. Ben Grubbs was a first-round draft pick and a really good player.
Yep.
And Yanda was, what, a third-round pick? They decided to pay Marshall Yanda, and then Ben Grubbs moved on to Kansas City and New Orleans, and then injuries ended his career. So tough decisions are around, and you can't pay two guards crazy money. And they stuck with Yanda, and it turned out to be a brilliant decision. And eventually, he will get in to Kansas.
Yeah, and what's he weigh like? Like now, like 190?
He looks like Nolan over there, minus the steroids, as a matter of fact. But Suggs, he has more sacks than Jared Allen, right? Who got in yesterday, so he's got a Defensive Player of the Year, two Super Bowls, Defensive Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, he's got all the numbers.
T-Sizzle's getting that gold jacket.
And honestly, the more I think about it, maybe it lines up where they both go in the same year. Probably a rarity, but that'd be really cool for Ravens fans. Even more reason to go out there and make the trip out to Canton.
Well, next year, what, Larry Fitzgerald and who else is I think there's another big guy. Because Fitzgerald, don't you think he gets in?
He's probably first ballot.
Right. And I thought there was one more that was somebody that you would think was first ballot.
Now,
it's Drew Brees.
Drew Brees.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, Lamar Jackson did not win MVP, was first-team All-Pro, won his division again, had two games where his quarterback rating was over 100. We all know what happened in Buffalo. But Eric DeCosta, Ravens GM, with Todd McShay, Senior Bowl last week, wearing a Red Sox hat that still kind of bothers me for some reason, talks about building around Lamar over the years.
Yeah, so you try to figure out what he does best and then what kinds of players he likes to throw the ball to. And so in his case, it's actually coincidental, but also, you know, we were lucky that he loves to throw to the tight ends.
Yes.
Right? So we had drafted Hayden Hurst, ended up trading Hayden. Hayden and Mark Andrews.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, so he had these, like, really comfort pieces for him. And then offensive line-wise, and so that same draft class, we drafted Mark Andrews and we drafted Orlando Brown. And we had Ronnie Stanley and Kevin Zeitler. We built an offensive line around him that suited what we do, which is run the football.
So when you have, you know, what they did was basically they got big guys, you know, and athletic guys. Ronnie's an athletic guy. Zeitler was an athletic guy. Orlando Brown was a big guy. So they were basically helping the two tackle positions, you know, to help Lamar protect from the edges and stuff. So, you know, I mean, that's, you know, you look at, like, for example, the Bears. They draft Caleb Williams, and they have great receivers, good running back, all that. But what don't they have? O-line.
And he's running for his life. Yeah. And by the way, let's not forget, too, Eric DaCosta, because Ozzie did the Andrews Hurst one. Likely in Kohler. You know, and going back years, Ed Dixon, Dennis Pitta came in the first round, same draft, rather. So they've dueled up tight ends before.
Yeah, and with that being, you know, what he just talked about with tight ends, that Lamar likes to throw to tight ends, and all three tight ends are free agents after this coming season, they'll draft one because you can't pay, you know, Andrews is going to want to get paid, so I think he'll probably be gone, and then likely he'll get paid, and then you'll have Kolar, and then you'll have another guy.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw. News from the Nest, featured artist Friday. Ravens lost. That's been, what, 3 weeks ago? Almost a month ago already?
Jesus.
It's been that long? The pain. Actually, Maryland losing last night's taking away some of that because I'm still mad at them. Mad at you, Maryland, but I'll get over it, trust me. But anyway, losing, moving into the offseason, I guess. That pain lasted how long for you, Eric DaCosta?
When the season ends, when our season ends, I think people would expect me to be, like, miserable. It's one of the happiest days of the year for me because I know now I can be a part of the solution, right? When you're in the season, if you're a GM in the season, you're like a hostage to the carnage that's going to take place out there. And I despise that.
I've never heard that.
What are the small little margins we can play in to get better as a football team? And, you know, we always try to be innovative. We'll look at the roster. We'll look at how do we save money. Who should we sign?
I don't know that he kind of means it. Like I'm excited we lost so I can start the offseason.
But he's not going to dwell on it too much.
Yeah, I think that's kind of, you know, 24 hours. You know, then what am I going to do? I dwell on it. Now is my time. You know, Harb's probably, you know, is pissed for a while. Whereas Eric, all right, I got to go to Senior Bowl. I got a lot of preparation stuff to do
moving forward. But I'm sure that thing lingered, and maybe when he's sitting back guzzling a beer or something, like, I still can't believe we didn't. You know what I mean?
Frickin' Andrews dropped the damn ball. After now, about six beers, I'm sure that comes out of your mouth.
Now you got to talk about Andrews, free agent, likely among others moving forward here. Not to mention extensions for Linderbaum and Kyle Hamilton. Going to be on the docket soon. Eric DaCosta, Ozzie Newsome had to make tough decisions, and how much did you learn from him?
Yeah, you know, there's a lot, but I would say you have to sometimes do what's right for the organization, even though you know it's the wrong thing to do. And what I mean by that is, like, we had a player that historically was just one of the great Ravens of all time, Anquan Boldin. We traded for Anquan. He was a total stud. Epitomized what it meant to be a Raven, like a guy that when you went into Pittsburgh, you wanted Anquan. The reality of it is we were in a bad cap situation and we had to trade him and we didn't get much for him. And it was a horrible football decision, but we had to do it and it was hard. And I think sometimes you have to just accept that you have to make the hard decision. We might have made it work. We could have probably finagled some contracts, done some cap deals. We probably would have put ourselves in a worse position in future years had we done that.
Bob, another guy, I was just looking at the rock. Travis Jones is another guy that'll be due, you know, a contract, too. So, yeah, I mean, with the salary cap, it's a pain in the ass because you are...
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy.
Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Going to let, when you're a good team, you're going to let good players go. You draft well, you're going to let good players go. Like Eric said, you can't sign them all. And it's about choices. You know, and you got to figure out, you're paying your quarterback, and that's going to take up a lot, and they're paying inside linebackers, and, you know, Hamilton's going to be probably the highest paid safety. Lindenball may be the highest paid center. So, I mean, can you have the highest paid all of these guys? Going to be difficult.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. When we come back, speaking about getting paid, it's buy or sell. Where's our money? We'll count what's going on there in the stock market. Also talk about many sports subjects heading into this Super Bowl Sunday. And then we'll talk about the Eagles with Brooks Kabina from the Athletic Philadelphia. 1-point dogs. Second Super Bowl in 3 years. Trying to prevent Kansas City from making history in New Orleans.
Are you buying?
Great cash, homie.
Or are you selling?
I'm not going to buy into that crap.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, featured artist Friday. Super Bowl Friday, Black Sabbath, by the way. As Gronkowski would say, Super Bowl licks. Super Bowl 59 coming up. You can hear the game on the Fan. Kansas City 1-point favorites over the Eagles. We'll talk Philadelphia with Brooks Kabina from the Athletic, bottom of the hour. But we'll count some dough. We'll talk some sports with buy or sell, man.
Yeah, we're losing big today. My phone's totally red. And it's maybe that's for the Chiefs. The Dow's down 340. S&P's down 52. NASDAQ's down 275. DraftKings down 24 cents. Under Armour down 26 cents. Yeah, it's not a good day.
All right, let's start our sports topics in the NFL. Last offseason, there was a lot of thought that the Cowboys would make a strong push to sign Derrick Henry. Well, we all know what happened next, and it added even more fuel to the Dallas fans' misery throughout the season. But Micah Parsons, well, he's got thoughts on everything. He shared them this week during a radio interview and was pretty candid in saying, quote, "I'm afraid Derrick Henry wouldn't even have helped us." What does he mean by that? Well, I mean, Dallas's O-line was kind of a mess this year, and reading more into Parsons' quotes essentially boils down to how much can one player really do on a bad team? Even if he had given them a 2,000-yard season, how many more games do they actually win because of that? Vinny, are you buying or selling Parsons' take?
I'm kind of buying it because their O-line did suck. And, you know, you kind of look at Barkley going to Philly. They had one of the best O-lines. They had good receivers. You know, their quarterback, they had been in the Super Bowl, so they were a good team. So they just needed, like, him to get over the hump. Like Micah Parsons says, just having Derrick Henry, he wasn't going to have 1,900 yards with the Cowboys. So I'm agreeing with that. Maybe he wins. They win another game or two, but it wasn't going to be drastic.
Go over to baseball here. The Padres are going to be shuffling their infield this season. They lost Ha-Seong Kim to the Rays in free agency, and he held down shortstop last year, pushing Xander Bogaerts to second base. Well, now, after the departure, Bogaerts returning to his natural position. And while he's never won a gold glove, been pretty consistent in the field, finishing with somewhere between 8 and 10 errors a year between 2021 and 2023. However, last season, he only played 111 games, but had 9 errors in that short amount of time with the new position change. Buy or sell, Bob, Bogaerts will see a decrease in errors in his return to short.
Yeah, I'll buy it because it's like putting on a comfortable old pair of shoes. He'll get back to his natural base, no pun intended, and do what he does. I think their concern there with Bogaerts has been he's not putting up the offensive numbers he did with the Red Sox. But look, he's a stellar player, probably overpaid in the grand scheme of things. But yeah, I'll buy that he'll get comfortable and do his thing as Tatis is now cemented out there in right field. Real quick, knowing the Pecota standings came out today, Orioles picked to win the American League East.
Whoa.
Yeah, so put them crying tails away. Wait till they lose, then complain.
Do you have the win numbers in front of you?
89.1.
So the Yankees?
88.8.
Okay. Well, they lowball everybody.
Worst team projected to be the Colorado Rockies.
Right. Do they even have the Dodgers at 100?
103.8.
Oh, okay.
Siberia of Major League Baseball.
Yes. Still holding on to their manager, though. Bud Black, what does it take to get fired?
Nice guy. Must be a nice guy.
We'll go back to the NFL here. The 49ers can begin negotiating a long-term extension with Brock Purdy this offseason. And that will end up being a pretty interesting debate with the media. While he has shown great playoff success early in his young career, he's also been the subject of a lot of criticism. The game manager labels have followed him since he entered the league. Now, he'll be seeking market resetting value like all quarterbacks who are up for a big payday, but those can quickly lose their luster if given to the wrong guy. Just look at a Trevor Lawrence, for example. 2025 will be the final year of his rookie deal. Of course, no fifth-year option as a late-round pick. But Vinny, buy or sell, the Niners should wait and see with Brock Purdy, even if it drives up the price in the long run.
I think having all those injuries hurt him. Not himself injuries, but the team. I think his comparable is probably Jalen Hurts. That would be my comparable. So whatever Jalen Hurts is getting, that's kind of the way I would see it. But his agent is going to see it totally different, just like you said, Nolan. I mean, they're going to want the highest paid. But he doesn't do like the things that Lamar can do and Josh Allen can do. Cause he just, to me, it's a perfect comparable with Jalen Hurts, where, you know, they expect you to be the point guard.
All right, we'll go, let's see, where are we going here? A little college football. Ryan Day It was public enemy number one a couple months ago, then became the hero for the Buckeyes after leading them to a national title run. So it's no surprise that he was rewarded with a new 7-year contract by the school. He's now one of the 3 highest paid coaches in the country. However, 4 straight losses to Michigan, well, that's going to sting for the fan base, and it's not going anywhere. As strange as it may seem to us here, we've heard from many college football writers on the show who say that the weight of that rivalry game is almost on the magnitude of a CFP game for them, for those fan bases. They care a lot. And even if you go on to win the national title, it doesn't erase what happened in the rivalry game. Buy or sell, Bob. Day will make it through these 7 years unscathed.
Unscathed in regards to not...
job security.
Oh, I'm selling that. I mean, who knows? Nobody knows what the hell they're going to be doing 7 years from now. But guessing he'll beat Michigan eventually. Hey, Michigan was playing good football towards the end of last season.
Yes, they
were. So, I mean, it's a rivalry game, so everybody takes it up a notch. But, look, Duke-Carolina basketball, for instance. If Carolina sweeps Duke and Duke goes and wins the national title, I don't think they're crying about not beating Carolina. I mean, eventually they're going to have to because people are going to be running hot. But, you know, Ryan Day, talk about a guy that's rehabilitated his reputation amongst the fan base since what, November? Now, what, 3rd highest paid? He was at the Maryland game last night. So, unscathed through 7 years? Nah, I'm selling that. It never happens.
No doubt.
He ain't to that level.
I mean,
where he decides what he wants to do.
If he were to lose 3 more years in a row to Michigan, he could be easily gone. 7.
He better be getting the championship games in the meantime, though.
All right, before we hit the break here, for one last time this week, I've got a pair of tickets to see Metallica. They're going to be coming to Northwest Stadium on May 28th. Tickets are on sale right now, but you don't have to buy them if you win them. So I'm looking for caller number 6 at 410-583-1057. Your last chance this week to win tickets to see Metallica.
And by the way, Metallica going to be one of those bands opening for Black Sabbath in Birmingham, England this summer as Ozzy's in Black Sabbath original, but the original band. There's only a few of those left. I mean, there's no Van Halen original. The Cars are done. Def Leppard. I mean, there's no original bands left, but they're one of them as old as they are. Metallica be opening for them, but Black Sabbath is our featured artist Friday. But win those Metallica tickets, caller number 6. We'll come back, talk about Super Bowl 59 from an Eagles perspective. Brooks Cabina from The Athletic next here on The Fan. On the Window Nation guest hotline, he's with The Athletic. By the way, The Athletic will debut its new daily game, Connections Sports Edition, on February 9th, Super Bowl Sunday. Let's welcome into the show for the first time, I believe, Brooks Cabina. Brooks, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us here in Baltimore.
Yeah, absolutely. How's it going?
It's going all right, man. Now, here in Baltimore, for instance, you know, John Harbaugh is a guy that's won a Super Bowl, goes to the playoffs almost annually, and still people want to fire him. With the Eagles, Nick Sirianni's been to 2 Super Bowls in the last 3 years. For instance, Chuck Knox, Marty Schottenheimer, for instance, never been to a Super Bowl as head coaches. Won a ton of games with a lot of different teams, never coached in a Super Bowl. Do Eagles fans appreciate Sirianni now after last year's meltdown and maybe this early season yelling at people thing? Is Sirianni now respected by the Eagles fan base?
Well, in a general sense, Eagles fans are excited whenever they get to a Super Bowl, so they accept what comes with that. But, I mean, the whole point about Nick Sirianni's success and the feelings surrounding it is, you know, when the collapse happened last year and overhauling the coaching staff and then going through the whole question of, okay, what does Sirianni do became the question. And he's not the offensive play caller. And if he was taking his hands off the wheel of the offensive game plans and hiring Kellen Moore, then what was this head coach doing? And Nick Sirianni's role with the Eagles is managerial. Jeffrey Lurie, the owner of the Eagles, said that last year. And part of the reason why he liked him around and why, you know, he didn't listen to the outcry of Eagles fans that wanted him gone after last year's collapse, how he was able to run a team and get players into the game plans and get the best out of them. And a lot of players have been speaking to that, and then that plays out on the field, and they win, and they go to a Super Bowl, and then everybody seems fine. But if they lose, then you don't really have much to turn to and say, okay, well, this guy's a schematic genius, and we can at least deal with that. So long as it's working, Eagles fans are great. And if it's not, you're hated. It's pretty simple.
Hey, Brooks, what's the status? Is Cam Jurgens going to be healthy enough to play center, and is Dickerson going to go back to left guard?
Yes, both will play, is my understanding. Jurgens, I had a chance to talk to him the last couple of weeks. I actually sat with him the other day. He told me that he's throwing the kitchen sink at it, which is a playoff of it, throwing everything but the kitchen sink. And I don't think that's actually part of his routine. Sounds like it actually pretty bad for his back. But he played through playing through that injury took a lot out of him. Watching him limp out of the stadium and then sat down with his head in his hands at his locker, and I asked him, you know, what it took to go out there, and I can't use the words he said back for what it did take. But I mean, he's not going to let that sideline him and Landon Dickerson. I've seen Landon Dickerson play through a lot of injuries in the middle of the game, and you know, they were full participants in yesterday's practice. They've been around. They were at every availability. It's like the expectation that they will play, and that's a big deal for this offensive line because I mean, that's one of the major strengths of this team. One of the reasons why they're here. One of the reasons why Saquon Barkley signed with the Eagles in the first place. And so two major pieces of their offense prepared to go.
Now, the thing with that, Brooks, is like when I watched the film, the Philly O-line is so much bigger than KC's defensive line. I mean, they're kind of engulfed. And the linebackers for KC are not big either. So that's got to be, you know, a big advantage, Eagles and for Saquon.
Yeah, I mean, I was just talking to the offensive line coach, Jeff Stoutland, the other day about Mekhi Becton, former offensive tackle for the Jets. Mm-hmm. Restarted his career in Philly partly because he wanted to learn under the tutelage of Stoutland. And I was like, we had talked before. Some former players like Jason Kelce have credited Stoutland for their development and call it Stoutland U. And, you know, he talks about his golden locker, you know, the player, the image of that he desires. And offensive guard typically is the, you know, the Brandon Brooks type, the big, big inside, huge, massive guy that, you know, Cam Jurgens wasn't. Cam Jurgens is a bit of undersized to that, but they liked him there and wanted to have him next to Kelce because he was going to the secession plan at the center. But, you know, with Becton, I mean, the guy's massive. You know, listening earlier this week, Jordan Davis talked about how whenever he first saw him, the defensive tackle for the Eagles in practice, he's like, I just saw one massive arm and it just kept going. You know, I asked Al, like, that's the size that you like. He's like, no, I like unusual. I like anything unusual. Basically, whatever throws off these defensive tackles. And, you know, obviously Chris Jones in the middle, you need to be able to handle that guy as much as you can. I don't think you can completely eliminate him, but out of everything that I've seen throughout this year, this offensive line hasn't been, you know, strong-armed in any situation. And I think, yes, the front is one thing, but I am actually interested to see how much Steve Spagnuolo, the defensive coordinator of the Chiefs, will use his dime packages, not just uses like his big defensive lineman, but you know, they ran dime the third most out of all the NFL, and you know, fielding six defensive backs by your choice is partly why he confuses so many quarterbacks, and confuses not only that, and the reason I bring it up, offensive line. They're part of the checks. They're part of seeing things, and all of a sudden you've got a safety dropping or a defensive end covering George Kittle, as I saw. So all that's very confusing, but I think this offensive line is most prepared to handle that.
Now, Brooks, when I look at Eagles' defense, I like the secondary a lot, and I don't think Kansas City's receivers are great route runners. So, and the defensive front, I don't know how Kansas City's going to run the ball, because their Kansas City's offensive line, to me, doesn't knock people off the ball at all, especially if Caliendo's playing left guard for them. That's a huge advantage, Eagles. So I really like, you know, other than if it wasn't Patrick Mahomes, I would say blowout Eagles. But Patrick Mahomes, you know, is going to cause some problems to that defense. But I just think that other than a legit outside pass rusher, and maybe you could say what Graham is going to add to the equation. But that is the only thing that I think they're lacking, is that outside pass rush.
Well, what's interesting is that they've had a pretty good pass rush throughout this year without a major star. So in the offseason, they signed Bryce Huff to a major 3-year deal, and he had a wrist surgery in the middle of the season, and was not productive. And then I'd be surprised if he gets, if any snaps, anything of consequence on Sunday. But, you know, the thing that the Eagles do across every position group is give themselves options. So signing, you know, a big ticket like Bryce Huff, or getting a first round pick like Nolan Smith, or, you know, getting, you know, other types, and then somebody out of that will end up coming through. And Nolan Smith, you know, their number 30 overall pick last year, had kind of a slow start. And then Brandon Graham, their veteran defensive end, he tears his tricep in the middle of the season, and it was thought that he was done for his career even at that point. And then Nolan Smith went on a tear. I mean, the guy's had 4 sacks in the playoffs so far, mm-hmm. and it's also partly, you know, new defensive coordinator this year and Vic Fangio. He likes to keep his defenders on the field. Howie Roseman, the general manager of the Eagles, likes to have more rotation, but Nolan Smith's out there more than 80% of the snaps most of the time recently, and that's where it's picked up. He's had 4 sacks throughout the playoffs, and that guy is really what's been bringing a lot of offensive lines trouble. So, like, if I'm looking at anybody, it's Nolan Smith and how he might be able to get to Patrick Mahomes. He's, you know, not the most giant edge rusher in the league, but he's got speed and quickness, and he's worked a lot on his strength. That was the main thing coming into training camp that I noticed in him, was how he's attacking blocks, setting edges. From a guy his size, he was doing that really well throughout the year. And Vic Fangio is not somebody that's going to put somebody on the field for that amount of time unless he knows he can be a complete player. So out of all that, if I was watching at home, I'd circle Nolan Smith.
Brooks Cabina, The Athletic, talking about the Eagles. Last thing for you, Brooks. I know you're pressed for time. You're a busy man down in the Big Easy. Will the Kansas City Chiefs make history Sunday starting at 6:30 Eastern?
No. I mean, history, yes. You know, you get to be in the record books of, you know, whether you win or lose in that sense. But no, they're not. I think the Eagles are built to beat the Chiefs. I think they leverage their offense, which is helping them lead the league in time of possession margin against a top-ranked defense that can suffocate the Chiefs. So I think this is the kind of game, and I picked my score right now is 33-32, but that's only because I think the Eagles will be leading by 2 scores with 2 minutes to go, and that's the only time that anybody can feel like Mahomes isn't going to kill you. So at the very end, I do think the Chiefs get a chance to score and will have the ball, but this is a situation where the Eagles haven't turned the ball over at all in the playoffs right now, and they force 10 in 3 playoff games. I think that's massive. And you think that's partly why they blew out the Commanders in the final game, that they've equipped themselves this way. They're built that way. Saquon Barkley's having a hell of a season. And I think that the Eagles will have their second Super Bowl.
Brooks Cabina, The Athletic, covers Philadelphia. Brooks, we appreciate the time. Enjoy the big game.
I appreciate it. Back at you.
Thanks, Brooks. Yesterday, the Kansas City,
Dana Hughes.
Yeah, he picked Kansas City, and Brooks picked Philadelphia. How about that? Do we have a neutral observer? Howard Balzer will be joining us top of the hour for some NFL lunch. We'll come back, reset the program for you. Got Vinny's Keys to Victory next hour, and we'll do our picks coming up around 1:30, which includes the game and multiple prop bets. We brought it up earlier in the show that Pittsburgh's going to be the designated home team in Ireland next year, and of course, the Ravens play the Steelers, and we talked about the game in Australia with the Rams, where the Ravens are not on their schedule that year. I'm guessing the Ravens will be floated, and rightfully so, as a possible opponent here for the Pittsburgh Ball Club. Dan Rooney said terrible towels will make the trip across the pond to Croke Park in Dublin. Can't wait for them to experience this game in what we call our motherland. For the Roonies,
I think the Ravens have a definite possibility. I don't know if the Steelers have any juice to, you know, for the opponent. Like, they can tell the NFL, here's who we would like to play. You know, who's our home team on our schedule that we would like to play. I don't know if they have that kind of juice.
Possibly.
Yeah. And if that would be the case, Bob, I would not want Baltimore, just because I want Baltimore in our stadium, because number one, advantage Steelers at home. You know, you're playing the Ravens on a neutral field. That's advantage. You know, that helps the Ravens, I think. Plus, for your fan base wants to see the Ravens at home.
Yeah, but they're not playing them at home this year. They're playing in Ireland.
No, I'm just saying that the Raven, they could play the Ravens.
Right.
They would rather play the Ravens at home.
So they're not going to take Baltimore to Ireland.
Right.
They'll save him for
That's what I would do.
Acrisure.
Yeah. You know, it's one of my crap tea. I want, you know, if I'm playing Jacksonville, that's who I want to play.
Well, if it follows the model that the NFL has been using with the majority of their international games for the past few years, it won't be an exciting matchup. I mean, it'll be some bottom feeder taking on the Steelers. I mean, that they never put. It's not like it's going to be Chiefs Bills in London. They never do that. It's always crappy teams playing, or one good team playing a really crappy team. They don't. They save the good enticing matchups for like primetime slots over here. That was the like Ravens Steelers. That could be a Sunday night game, Thursday night, Monday night. You name it. I mean, they're not going to waste that at 9 a.m. or whatever time it would be on Ireland time.
Now, I've already figured this out. If Kansas City wins the Super Bowl, they will open the season at home against the Philadelphia Eagles, who come to Arrowhead. Because they're not going to do the Ravens 2 years in a row, right?
No, and they shouldn't. I hope not.
Now, if Philly wins it, looking at their home schedule for next year, well, I don't think Dallas or the Giants or the Commanders, the Bears, Lions.
Yeah.
I'm guessing the Lions.
Yeah, that would be
Rams playoff rematch.
Yeah, or how about Washington?
Possibly playoff. Oh, championship game. Yeah, no doubt. So Kansas City wins. It's got to be Philly Super Bowl rematch, especially if there's drama.
Yeah. Right. Or they're not playing the Bills in the regular season, right? That's the only other team I could think.
They play at Buffalo.
Okay. So forget that. Yeah.
Yeah. And so does Philly, by the way. So there you go. So the Ravens going to Ireland, we're saying thumbs down.
I would think, Bob, here's the home schedule for Pittsburgh. Baltimore, I say no. Cincy, no. Cleveland could possibly be. Buffalo, no. Miami, possibly. I think Miami could be. Indy, Green Bay, no. Minnesota, probably no. Seattle, possibly.
Yeah,
that'd be that'd be a hell of a trip for Seattle. Jesus.
But anyway, Steelers going to be playing in Dublin in 2025. When we come back, Howard Balzer, longtime NFL writer, talking about this Hall of Fame stuff. No Suggs, no Yonda. No first ballot Hall of Famers get in. What ultimately got Sterling Sharp over the hump, along with Eric Allen and others. Vinny's keys the victory for both Kansas City and Philly. And then we'll do our picks. Booze is on the line. And this is the last chance for the Bobster and Vinny to catch up. Your first place again? Nolan's like that playoff guy. Yep. You're Charlie Morton in the playoffs.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.